Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we will be continuing our study of Tehillim, Perek Nun Ches 58. Lamanatzeach al tashches l'David michtam. It's another michtam and the introduction is al tashches. To the conductor, do not destroy a michtam, a musical instrument or musical arrangement. There are many ways that some of the words in this parak can be explained, so if you're looking through some of the mefarshim, you will likely see a lot of varied explanations, as is the case, of course, in most of Tehillim and Tanakh, but particularly true in this parak. Time does not allow for us to go into the myriad explanations in this format, but even so, the words themselves may change in meanings depending on who we look at, but the general theme is understood to be a song about corruption and the people that contribute to such a society. It talks about false accusations and people that sit idly by at injustice. Ha'umnam elem tzedek tedaberon mesharim tishpatu b'nei adam. In Pasuk Beis, is it true that you are silent? Speak justice and judge men fairly. According to some opinions, this song is directed to Doeg and Achitofel, as we had discussed in previous prakim, who spread misinformation about David. According to Rashi, the song was inspired by the injustice that David experienced because of Avner, the right-hand man of Shaul. The events that Rashi refers us to occurs in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Vav. And in that parak, we see the second instance where David had an opportunity to kill Shaul and instead chose the path of restraint. David was still on the run from Shaul. He ends up in close proximity to Shaul's camp. Shaul is with his men who are encircling him in the camp as protection, and everyone is sleeping. No one is stirring because Hashem put them in a deep sleep. David goes with Avishai into the camp, and instead of killing Shaul, he takes his spear, which was stuck in the ground near his head, as well as his jug, his canteen of water. David leaves the camp, no one the wiser. He is on the other side of a mountain and calls out to Avner, Shaul's general, and the one who was supposed to protect him. He shows him the spear and water and asks, "Why are you not guarding the king?" But David is particularly pained at the injustice and inconsistency of Avner. The Medrash illustrates Avner's attempts to take advantage of Shaul's weakened emotional state due to his ruach ra that he had. Shaul was on the verge of reconciliation with David during his first encounter in Ein Gedi, as recorded in Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Dalet, as we had discussed, and Shaul realizing that indeed David could have easily killed him, and instead tore off the corner of his cloak. Shaul emotionally admits to David, "Tzadik ata mimeni, you are more righteous than me." He further says, "Va'ata hine yadati kimaloch timloch, I know that you will be the king." According to the Medrash, Avner turns Shaul against David once again, saying, "David didn't spare your life for altruistic reasons. He spared your life because he knew that had he killed you, he would be dismembered body part by body part by your soldiers, Shaul. You think he did it because he had restraint? He did it because of self-preservation. In any case, you think that he actually cut your cloak? You likely tore it on some thorns and he picked it up trying to manipulate you." Now, in this instance, after he took Shaul's spear, David calls out to Avner and he challenges him. "Do you have anything to say now? Or are you rendered mute? Because there is no logic that can twist what just happened. Ha'umnam elem tzedek tedaberun? Are you going to be silent? Will you say that the spear walked off on its own?" And this is the beginning of this mizmor. It begins with the words, "Lamanatzeach al tashches, do not destroy." Al tashches is an echo to the words that David exchanged with his own men, who had encouraged David to take the opportunity to get rid of the Shaul problem once and for all. "Let us go and kill him once and for all, because God has surely delivered him into our hands. He's completely vulnerable, and it's a perfect time to take our shot." To which David responds, "Vayomer David el Avishai, al tashchisehu, do not destroy him, do not kill him, because who would dare lay a hand on the anointed one of Hashem and be innocent? Ki mishalach yado b'mishiach Hashem v'nika." Hence the words in our parak, al tashches. David does not want to come to the point where he would have a hand in Shaul's death, as we had discussed in our last parak. So the body of this mizmor opens with a question, an incredulous question. Is it possible, is it true that you can be silent and you can't speak up when injustice is occurring in front of your eyes? From the actual source of the inspiration, it is a question posed to Avner, a man that could have been the vehicle for peace and reconciliation and justice. Instead of being the answer to the problem, he's part of the problem because of his silence. He could have used his position within Shaul's inner circle to speak the truth by convincing Shaul of David's innocence. From the universal perspective, the question is posed to all those who are in a position to make a change or to take a stand, but instead walk silently into the sunset with indifference and missing the opportunity to stand up for justice. You who really know the truth spout lies and turned a blind eye to injustice. David continues to describe these Rishaim in Psukim Gimel and Dalid. Pasuk Gimel, Af Belevo Los Tifalun Ba'aretz Chamas Yedechem Tifalesun. In your minds you devise wrongdoing in the land. With your hands you weigh out violence. The use of the word Tifalesun. Tifalesun comes from the word meaning a device for measuring, some sort of measuring stick or level. It's a device used to achieve an exact result. You, who are in the position of power, could use your position to achieve measured justice and prevent corruption. Yet instead, you were the cause of the problem. David continues in Pasuk Dalid, stating that their evil is so ingrained in their hearts. They seem to be so evil to the core that it appears as if there was never an innocent moment in their lives, even from the moment they were conceived. It is so deep, their wickedness, that Pasuk Dalid, Zohar Rishaim Erachem, Ta'umi Beten Dovrei Chazav. The wicked are estranged from the womb. From the time that they are born, these speakers of falsehood go astray. David continues with lots of metaphoric language describing the Rishaim, the evil people, in Psukim, Hey and Vav. Their deeds are like venomous snakes, a viper that stuffs its ears and can't be controlled by the snake charmers. The wicked refuse to even listen to reason. They block their ears to reason, which prevents them from a change of heart. This speaks to the stubbornness of the Rishaim who won't even entertain another point of view. And again, David's close encounter with death leads him to expand and comment not just about his predicament, but about Jewish history and our encounters in the future where we will have to face evil in the face. Haven't we all done the proverbial head scratching when it comes to listening to the libels of our modern day enemies, the rants, the libelous claims, the hypocrisy? You know, sometimes younger people or children will ask, how could people be so evil? How is this normal? Well, it's not normal. And we know that, yes, people can be so evil. And no, they won't listen to reason because their ears are indeed stuffed and there is nothing that will change their attitudes. Because if children of the enemies are nurtured by indoctrination of the dirty Jew and the need to wage war, and children of our enemies learn how to handle weapons at young ages so that they can prepare to fight their Jewish problem, this is the Zohar Rishaim Erachem, Ta'umi Beten Divrei Chazav. You know, and as I was reading these words, I just had this thought, you know, Zohar Rishaim, Zohar, they're strange, but Zohar also comes to mind someone that is demented, muzar, strange, twisted. Our enemies can be demented in their hatred towards us. It's pathologic. In the Haggadah, we begin the story of our emancipation from the Egyptian enslavement with the story of Lavan. And Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik points out that Lavan would have killed his own daughters because of their belief in God and their attachment to Yaakov. In the words of Rav Soloveitchik, quote, he kindled an insane hatred against his own children. Further on, he says, Lavan proves that hatred for the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. Only madmen could have devised the final solution. The hatred of our enemies is abnormal, and that is what is frightening, unquote. When the enemy is determined to engage in their hostile campaigns, there seems to be no way out. Therefore, David turns to Hashem and asks God to take care of the enemies in Psukim Ches through Yud, to smash their teeth and fangs, the vehicles of their aggression. Disable their bombs, neutralize their communication capabilities by blowing up the pagers, to rid us of the enemy so that they can evaporate like water. Yimasu kamo mayim, melt away like snails, kamo shablul temes yahaloch, and prevent the young thorns from growing into full-fledged sharp brambles. B'terem yavinu sirosechem atad. David then says that when the evil ones of the world are stopped in their tracks, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yismach tzadik, ki chazana kam, pa'amav yirchatz bidam harasha. The righteous will rejoice because they will have witnessed vengeance. And allegorically, says Rav Hirsch, it will be as if his feet will bathe in the blood of the wicked. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, V'yomar Adam ach pri litzadik, ach yesh Elokim shoftim ba'aretz. Man will say, there is indeed a reward for the righteous. There is justice. Justice has been served. There is indeed a God judging the land. We began with the question of how could there be such blatant injustice? And we end the perek speaking of the righteousness of God. At the end of the day, we really have no control over others' actions, but we have faith that Hashem indeed runs the world and will mete out justice to those who deserve it. We have to just leave it in God's hands. These psukim also speak to the satisfaction that a victim has if he has the opportunity to see the downfall of his oppressors. Think of Holocaust survivors who were able to witness the hanging of Nazis. Think of terror victims witnessing the arrest and incarceration of the perpetrators of crimes, of their crimes that affected them. And parenthetically, the absolute horror at knowing that some of those perpetrators were just released right this year. This idea is relevant when we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Az Yashir that Klal Yisrael sang after the splitting of the sea. The Shira, the song of praise that they sang, was a result of not just witnessing the splitting of the sea, but it was a spontaneous expression of thanks as a result of their having the opportunity to witness the drowning of the Egyptians before their eyes. It was for the added gift of some sort of closure. V'yomar Adam ach pri litzadik ach yesh Elokim shoftim ba'aretz. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmos, Helen Moskowitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.